Here, actually, good afternoon, and welcome to KXCV KRNW's Bearcat Football Signing Program. As I'm John Coffey, joined by Matt Gorder and also Northwest head football coach Adam Dorrell. And for the next hour, we'll be talking with Coach Dorrell about this year's signing class and what they bring to the Bearcat football program. And Matt Gorder, always an exciting time on signing day here at Northwest, as it is around the country.
Yeah, we were joking a little earlier. This is one of very few reasons why fax machines still exist, I believe. And it's a very important reason, don't get me wrong, but it definitely is one of the few.
And Coach Dorrell, you've got 32 student athletes you've signed to the Bearcat roster on National Signing Day here today. And before we talk about each of the players individually here, I know a lot of work goes in, not only with the coaching staff, but a lot of people involved at Northwest Missouri State that helps make this day really a successful day for you.
Yeah, it is, John. Just starting with our coaching staff, I was very proud of our coaches. I thought they did a great job of going out and recruiting quality student athletes. I thought they did a good job of doing their homework, getting to know the recruit, the parents, the coach. And there's just a lot of little details that go into recruiting if you do it right. And our guys, I thought, did a great job with that.
And as far as this year's class, what are some of the goals that you had with bringing in these 32 players?
Well, this year was such a big recruiting class for us with the graduation of 21 seniors. So we literally took one kid at least every position. You know, we had a kicker, a punter, and a long snapper in there. So we had a need to fill at every position, some more than others. I think in our mind as a coaching staff, the things that the two positions we just really had to address this year were linebacker and tight end. And I thought we did that. You know, I thought we hit a home run at both those positions. You know, our linebacking core was just, I feel like it's a great linebacking core. There's depth there. There's guys that can run a lot of different types of bodies. You know, we've got coverage linebackers. We got guys that can play outside in space. We got the inside guys that are, you know, going to be good against teams like Missouri Southern, playing the triple option, playing smash mouth football. So I thought we really addressed that. And then the tight end. You know, those tight end kids nowadays, you know, not everybody in high school football is playing with the tight end. And so the type of tight end that we want that can block at the line of scrimmage but is also an effective pass catcher, you know, that can split two safeties and have the ability to catch and run afterwards. Those kids, in my opinion, aren't as easy as to find as they were 6-7 years ago. And so we went out. We got a little bit creative at sometimes with the tight end spot this year, but I thought we really addressed our needs at tight end. But those are the two places we really felt like we couldn't miss on this year, and we certainly didn't do that at all.
When you talk positions, do you find there are certain schools, certain areas of the country, certain states that are better at particular positions maybe, or that you have more success with bringing in guys from those areas?
You know, I would have said that 3 years ago, yeah, but now even, you know, what I would term some traditionally smash-mouth states, they're, you know, a lot of those schools are going to spread type offenses, spread option, and so... No, I couldn't say that anymore. It's just scouring the countryside and trying to find the best fit for Northwest Missouri State.
And it looks like you were very successful in the Midwest again this year. 11 signees from Missouri. You had 9 from Iowa, 4 from Illinois, 3 from Kansas, and also 2 from Nebraska. Also, you had a couple from Wisconsin and 1 from Florida. Just kind of talk about trying to scour the countryside and the success you've had in each of these regions.
Well, first off, John, the thing that always amazes me and I'm very proud of is, as an alum, you know, as a guy that went to school here and played here, it amazes me. It's like when you'll call and a coach is, you know, I was talking with a coach in Florida just a couple weeks ago, and he's like, Northwest, yeah, you know, I grew up and up by Kansas City, you know, and so, or you're calling up to Wisconsin and they're like, yeah, you know, Northwest Missouri State, you know, I know who you are, I know where that's at. So that always helps in the recruiting process when your university has and your football program has credibility, and so at least those folks will listen. But, you know, we're trying to find the best student-athletes that we can that fit our schemes, that fit what we want to do academically and the type of kid, the character that we want. But, you know, obviously recruiting Missouri has always been a big deal for us, or the, you know, kind of the four states, I guess you could say five states in there. You know, obviously Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and Illinois, you know, those are always – really big pushes for us, and obviously we've expanded this year into Wisconsin, and I was just very excited about the kids that we signed out of Wisconsin. You know, this was Coach Boswick's first year going up there, and I was very pleased with his efforts. And you know, that's not in our next door, but it was great. Those kids this year for Wisconsin were down here, and it was that weekend when it was high 50s, and golly, those guys were walking around in tank tops and Hawaiian shorts, you know. And, of course, we informed them it never gets below 40 here in Maryville, and the wind never blows. And so I was excited with that was kind of our new area this year. We expanded up into there, and I thought we did some great things. And then, you know, Florida, again, you know, the one young man that we have right now from Florida we feel very good about, and I'm not going to use names, but we might have a couple more Floridans on board here within the next hour, and they're really good. So hopefully we can report on that a little bit later.
You mentioned the reputation of Northwest Missouri State. I know sometimes you get to where you've got players teetering on maybe going Division One, but not seeing but maybe a year action or something like that. Do you find that you're getting able to get more of those guys than maybe you would in the past because you do have such a high reputation right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think we go head to head with a lot of FCS schools. You know, the Missouri States, the SEMOs, that what I term 1AA. I know they don't call them that anymore, but yeah, we go head to head with them every year. We have for years, and you know. Yeah, we're proud that we can do that. And again, I think it says a lot about our university, our facilities, just not just from the football end of it, but the quality of people here at Northwest Missouri State. I think kids come to campus and they feel that love from the community. You know, they feel it in the academic appointment from our professors. And you know, we're looking, I always talk about this, it's a right fit. I mean, we're looking for a kid that says, I want to win a national championship, you know, and that's the kind of kid you want, that I want to graduate, I want to win a national championship. So absolutely, we'll go head-to-head with those guys, and, you know, even the upper realm, you know, we lost a kid about 10 days ago to Kansas State. So, you know, you're sitting there going, well, we had a kid who was verbally committed to Northwest Missouri State, and we lost him late to Kansas State. You know, a lot of people are, oh, you know, golly, that's tough, and I'm not disappointed in that at all. I'm proud of that. You know, we're recruiting. We had a verbal commitment from a type of kid that got picked up by a Big 12 school, not just, you know, any Big 12 school, a great Big 12 school. And so, you know, I'm proud that we're out there battling and going head to head with those guys. And I'm glad, you know, these recruits, and it starts with the high school coach, can see that we have a, you know, a quality product here to offer.
How much does it help as well when you see some of your former players go on and have success in the NFL? Also, when you're trying to recruit at the Division II level, you see a couple of guys in the Super Bowl this past Sunday from the Division II level that played a big role in that game too. How much does that help when you're trying to recruit a student athlete to Northwest?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, John. And like I said, it always amazes me sometimes the level of depth that the parent slash recruit will get into, you know. Like, we haven't even brought them up on campus, and you're talking to them on the phone, and they bring up Dave Tolleson or the Dixons or Xavier Omon, guys like that. And so, but I always look at that as a good sign, because if they're bringing those kids up before you even, I guess, talk about it, and we give a little presentation on that when they're here, that's always a good thing when they're bringing that up before you even start talking about it.
And you're talking about former players. How important are current players, too, in terms of the recruiting process?
Well, yeah, let me finish up on former player. The NFL aspect is obviously neat, and, I call that's kind of eye candy. To me, if you really dive into the depths of former players here that are coaching at the high school level, that's pretty powerful. You're going out there and you're like, you're going into this high school and there's a Northwest alum. And it doesn't always have to be necessarily a football coach. It can be a principal, an assistant principal, the athletic director. That to me is when you walk in and you start talking to a kid and they're like, you know, yeah, Coach so-and-so, you know, he went there and he talked about how great of an experience he had playing at Northwest. And again, I'm very proud of that, because those guys, that's kind of the foundation for recruiting. If you have somebody in the high school that can really help foster that relationship, and you know, they speak about their experience here, it's very powerful. And then to follow up what you said, Matt, about current players, you know, I talk about each year, and I really challenged our current players this year. You know, you're the closer, you know.
Yeah.
You're the big guy coming in out of the bullpen ninth inning, and we tell them they get about 5 hours with the kids, and, you know, you got 5 hours to try to to try to close and help us close with the kid. And so, like anything, I think anytime you challenge our kids in a competitive nature, they're very competitive. And it was funny last week when they were starting to hear about commitments, listening to those guys talk about, you know, I was 3-0 on hosting recruits this year. I was 2-1, and so it's, again, it's great to hear them talk like that, because, you know, that means they're buying into it.
Another thing that I think when you talk to the recruits, they have to buy into, too, is that while these are names right now we'll be talking about and hear a lot about probably another 2 or 3 years down the line, is most of these guys will be redshirting their freshman year here and get a chance to be on campus for a year. Just kind of talk about that process when you talk to recruits that they know they're going to most likely be redshirting
their first year. Yeah, and every situation is different, John. We don't just go into a home or go to a kid's school and say, hey, you're going to redshirt. We certainly don't shy away from using the word redshirt. We tell them about the positives of it. But, you know, basically the way the calendar falls, we start practice this year on August the 13th. School starts, I think, on the 21st or something like that. But they basically have 13 practices, not days, basically 13 practices to show that they're better than the guys here. If they don't, then they'll move into that redshirt category. So there's guys on here certainly that have walked in here and said, I need a redshirt. I want a redshirt. I need to get bigger, faster, stronger. I want a year to acclimate, you know, socially at the collegiate level, academically at the collegiate level. And so obviously our success, past success with redshirting, I think, speaks volumes for what we've been able to do here developmentally, you know, Joe, what he's doing downstairs. And so certainly that's part of what we do, yeah.
I don't know if it's maybe you could call it a trend, but it seems like more schools are kind of going that route, especially when you look in the MIAA.
Yeah, I think my opinion on that is a lot of, I think people are doing it because they feel like they have to, because the league's really, you know, tough. I mean, again, you go top to bottom. You know, you can't look at the MIAA and go, well, there's a win or there's a win. You can't do that. I mean, it's a great league, obviously, and I think people are looking at you're always researching what everybody else is always doing and trying to get better and fine-tune what you're doing in recruiting or anything you do in your programs. But, yeah, I would agree with you. It seems to be a trend right now in our league. A lot of teams are trying to get kids in and obviously redshirt them.
Well, you've got 32 student athletes that have already signed letters of intent to play football at Northwest Missouri State, and I imagine what everybody's tuned in for right now is to hear about these kids. And let's kind of go down the list and alphabetically here and go through the 32 that you're bringing into the program. I guess let's start off with Marcus Andrews out of Blue Springs.
Yeah, very excited about Marcus. He's, again, talking about that tight end position. He's truly a dual threat tight end. When you watch his film, highlight film, game film, you saw a kid consistently blocking at the line of scrimmage. They would line him up at the H-back, the wing back a lot, and they would move him around, pull him, what we call slicing, and then they'd run play action passes off it. He has very soft hands, big hands. And again, you saw him catch, but what we really liked is not only did he catch the football, we thought he did some really good things after the catch. So there is in our opinion, what, you know, you're looking for in a tight end, and they're just not that easy to find anymore. So we're very excited about Mr. Andrews and what he's going to bring to our program. And again, quality individual, quality student.
Cole Bixler, a 6'1", 200-pound linebacker out of Omaha. And now size-wise, that kind of fits in right about what you guys are usually looking for. But looks like he's done some defensive line work as well. What do you see out of Cole?
Yeah, Cole was a guy that played in the 30 front, and he was standing up on the LOS a lot. And so he's a very good blitzer off the line. We noticed that right away. He was actually kind of the Omaha defensive player of the year, won a state championship. Very hard-nosed kid, tough kid. Right now, their plan is to play him at Rover, play him outside, play him up in the line of scrimmage where he can get hands on a tight end, and then obviously we'll try to work him into our 30 package. And we just feel like he's, you know, you talk about having offensive kids that are good with the ball in their hand. Defensive kids, some of them are just good at blitzing, and others they're not. And he seems to be a kid that's natural at blitzing and likes to do it, and he's never shies away from contact, so we're excited about Cole.
Now, the next player that we'll talk about, another one, when you go back to when you were talking about former Northwest players or Northwest alums that are out there in the coaching field, Jamal Brazil, coached by a Northwest alum, and Josh Hood, he's a linebacker out of Park Hill, and let's talk a little bit about Jamal.
Yeah, very excited about Jamal. He's the young man that they played him inside. And, again, I know our guys' plan is to look at him at potentially buck linebacker. He could also play outside. Now, he's going to be good in our 30 package at the X-backer. He's the kid I was talking about as far as a runner. I mean, this kid can just flat run, and he tracks things down. Got great instincts for the football, and, you know, we're very excited about him. He's one of those kids that I think will have a very positive impact on campus. He's got very good people skills, a great smile when you guys start to interact with him, you know what I mean? He's got a great future here, and we're excited to have him.
A couple of spoof outs on this year's list. One of those, Jacob Sosik, an offensive lineman, 6'3", 285. And, you know, sometimes offensive linemen, people don't think they're the smartest group in the world, but this is definitely one of those guys that bucks that trend. He is a very smart kid.
Yeah, he is. He's a high 30, mid-30 ACT kid, and we're very excited about him. Jacob is a young man that I've obviously had the privilege to watch for a long time, and I've had him in our camp for 4 years, and just to be able to watch him develop, I've known his family for a long time, just very quality people. He's a young man that spent a lot of his time in high school at guard. And, you know, with what they do, you see him pull a lot on their buck sweep stuff and the power stuff. But then you've also seen him play tackle. So there was a kid we looked at, and it's just like, you know, that's a can't-miss guy because he could play guard or tackle. High football IQ, very tough young man. And, you know, we're going to start him out at probably guard, but we'll just see how things go. But, again, I'm very excited about him. I'm very excited to coach him. You know, he's just he's a quality kid, and you know, we've been recruiting him for a long, long time.
I was a little concerned about where Matt was going, talking about the offensive line there, knowing that you're an offensive line.
Yeah, I know he looked right at me when he said that.
I played a little offensive line, and I was on the other side of what Jacob Sosik is, I'll tell you that.
And, we talked earlier, too, about being able to get into Illinois. The next one we'll talk about running back in Christopher Cam at Cornelius. He's coming out of Illinois, and it looks like a guy that's got some, obviously, is some great talent that you're bringing into the program.
Yeah, four straight year we've been able to land a running back from Chicago. And, you know, I guess what we see on a Chicago running back is this: they play in inclement weather. They're tough. All these kids, you start back with Phil Jackson, you start working right on them down the line. They're kids that know how to run the football in between the tackles. That's very, very, very good high school football in our opinion. And so we're very excited about Cam. The thing that we feel about Cam is he's just a game changer. He's good at running the inside zone, the stretch play. But the thing that continually popped up with him is his ability to be crafty and on screens and find that open window and catch the screen, or what I call choice routes. He's great at running choice routes out of the backfield, getting matched up on a linebacker. But it's easy to call that play, but the kid has to understand when he releases on that choice route, is it man coverage or if it's zone? And Cam does a phenomenal job on video of, okay, understanding it's man coverage and then just watching him break those linebackers off, but his ability to run after the catch is what we just felt like made him very, very special.
Another guy out of Illinois, Zach DeWitt, a kicker. The important thing, I think, with kickers, as you look at some of his accolades and things, he's got a lot of accolades in soccer, which I think is a very important thing, but he looks like he's a guy that should be able to kick the ball well for you.
Yeah, we've had the privilege of having Zach at camp the last couple of years, and we've tracked his progress, and the thing we feel good about him is he's continued to get better as a kicker. And when you evaluate him and you're looking at him on campus and you're sitting here seeing what he did a few years ago to now what he did this year, just felt like his leg strength really improved. And we feel like he's a kid that's going to come in and do some good things for us from the kicking standpoint. We just feel like he has a big upside. Certainly don't feel like he's tapped out at all. We feel like he's got a lot of room for improvement, and that's good. Like you said, Matt, you know, it's hard to teach that, I guess, leg strength in a kicker, that natural pop off the football. And we just got to fine-tune a few things with him and feel like he's going to be really deadly with kickoffs and field goals.
And again, a Wisconsin kid that was in on the day when he had some nice weather here out of Little Chute, Wisconsin. Mike Elke coming into this program and defensive end. Let's just talk a little bit about what he brings to the
game. Yeah, we're very excited about Mike, John. He's, again, one of those kids from Wisconsin that we, I mean, we were battling it out with some FCS schools with him and obviously some other really good Division II schools up north. And so, I don't know. Mike was a young man that came on campus and then it was, you know, he was here for half a day and then the following morning, I remember talking to him the following morning and after he'd spent time with our kids and had had a chance to see a lot of what we had to offer, I just remember feeling like just seeing the smile on his face. And he said to us at breakfast, he's just like, this was my seventh official visit. And he goes, this just feels like home here. And so we felt pretty good, with him, getting ready to go up and give him a scholarship offer that maybe we could get a commitment that day, if not soon. And so very excited about him. He's a tall, rangy kid. You know, you're looking at him and Rich is going right now, well, he's got natural pass rushing ability. So you look at him and you're going to go, well, he's an open-sided end that we can get in that jet technique and you let him get up the field. But then you start looking at his length, his wingspan and stuff. You know, if he comes in here and puts 25 pounds on, he can naturally be a stud in too. And so that's what we're looking at. Like we felt like we couldn't miss with this kid and very excited about him.
One thing before we move on, when you talk about kids coming in from Wisconsin, how much of a help does having a guy like Eric Reimer on the program already coming out of Wisconsin when you see a guy like Eric that's had the success he's had at Northwest help in recruiting those type of kids?
Absolutely. You know, there's a guy like Eric Reimer. Obviously, he was the latest one that we had. I know Chad did a really good job of educating these kids of who Eric Reimer was, and again, we would give them the tools necessary to research him, and then just the fact that they were able to go out and research Eric, and Eric was just a great, obviously, young man for us because he was a great football player, but he was obviously two-time academic All-American, and they were able to look at him, I think, and go, and, you know, obviously Chris Grison, Chris has still got a good name up in Wisconsin, and I don't think any of these kids necessarily knew Chris personally, but again, when you start researching it and there's some foundation laid already with Wisconsin kids, I certainly don't think it hurts anything.
Another offensive lineman on the list, Anthony Enriquez, out of Park Hill, a first-team performer, another one of those guys that we talked about earlier, coached by a Bearcat alum in Josh Hood. But what do you see out of Anthony?
Again, he's another young man we've been tracking extensively for a few years. You know, we early offered him. Anthony, again, is another mid-30s ACT kid and a highly intelligent young man. He's a good wrestler right now, but great, great tackle, good feet, very natural pass pro guy. They did a lot of stuff where they would run this tackle trap play, so you got to see him get out in the open and run and pull and on some of their screen stuff. But we're very excited about him. Feel like he's got a really good upside. Anthony would be the first to tell you, you know, he gets done being a three-sport guy in high school. He's going to jump in that weight room, and I think his strength numbers are really, really going to go up in the next few years. But, again, just highly intelligent young man.
You've mentioned with both Enriquez and Sosik the ability to pull and get out in front. How important is it for you to see that on film and see your potential offensive lineman be able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's important for what we do, especially, you know, we pull our guards a lot on the power play, and then we run quite a few screens, and it's just one of those things, unless you see him do it, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to, well, we think he could be out and be good in space, but it's really nice to be able to see.
Jake Gassman is up next. He's a free safety, a kick returner, punt returner, comes from Kearney, Missouri. And the Kearney athletic program has been very good to a lot of different sports on the Northwest campus. Football, no different. Coached by a former Bearcat as well, and a kind of quiet guy in Greg Jones.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, just talk a little bit about Jake Gassman.
Well, again, Greg is an alum here at Northwest Missouri State, and we're very proud of our relationship that we continue to have with Kearney. We've had these kids coming into camp for numerous years now, and Jake's no different. Jacob's father's on staff there, and, you know, again, we've been able to see Jake for four summers in a row since he was a freshman and be able to look at his progression. One of the things, again, we early offered him, but the thing I was very excited about, he sustained a pretty significant injury this year in the middle of the season, and it, you know, for a kid who's into his senior year, I know he was very devastated, but I'll never forget my initial, you know, he had committed to Northwest early, and when I talked to him on the phone, I knew the kind of kid we were getting, because a lot of kids I don't think would have been mature enough to handle that like he did. And I remember distinctly how positive he was on the phone, you know, well, coach, you know, I'm going to be back. I'm going to get back. You know, I'm going to get through this injury and I'm going to be stronger for it. And I remember that's always resonated with me. And I've got off the phone. I'm like, we're getting a good one there. Hard-nosed kid. He will run the alley and hit and stick people. Does that very well. But he's also good enough to cover. And then, man, he's a very dynamic punt returner. So we're excited about Jake.
Another offensive lineman, this one coming out of Hazelwood West in St. Louis, Tydarius Griffin, 6'1", 270, got some attention at the All-America level even last year. What makes this guy so tough?
He's tough. No, he's just a hard-nosed kid. You know, you talk about the redshirt thing and stuff. Like, he was a guy that, you know, he's adamant that he wants to come in here and compete right away. And I said, great, you got the 13 practices to do it. And, again, he's a kid. He spent his high school career playing tackle, left tackle, and he does it very well. He's got feet, very good feet, can kick step, pass pro. We're going to start him off at left guard because, I mean, he's just a road grader, a little hedgehog, man. He gets his pad level down and pushes people. Again, you see him pull and trap. Very physical. Tydarius, I love the way he finished his blocks, the way he was able to finish blocks. You really love to see from high school offensive linemen. And, you know, I'm excited to coach him because, again, he's got this huge upside, but I don't feel like he's anywhere close to being done as an athlete. So we're very excited about him.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, and Adam Durrell. Today is the first day that high school athletes can sign national letters of intent. And as we continue on with the list of the 32 that are coming into the Bearcat program, we go back to Wisconsin. Andy Hessler out of Heartland, Wisconsin, a 6-foot, 220-pound linebacker coming into the program. And when you look at some of his things here, it's the guy that's coming off a pair of state championships. You always like to bring in players that have had a lot of experience in winning, and that always adds a lot to when you bring them into the program.
It does, John. Again, the thing with Andy that became very clear to us immediately is this was a kid that had a lot of FCS traffic and were getting recruited high, but he kept talking about winning. I want to win. I want to win. I want to win a national championship. You know, I've won a state championship. I want to win a national championship. And I think at the end of the day, that's where, you know, our tradition really helped us out with that kid. I really think that was a deciding factor with him. He had higher level offers, but I think he looked at potentially those schools and said, I don't think I can win a national championship there. I think I've got a chance to do that at Northwest Missouri State. So, again, we were very excited about Andy because he had a lot going. You know, you start worrying about distance and stuff. Never seemed to affect his family. His mom and dad were here with him, super excited about it. And the other thing it really doesn't talk about on there with Andy, he's a phenomenal long snapper and short snapper. So it's just like a bonus, you know. If you can have potentially a kid, and we're most likely going to redshirt Andy, but to have a kid like with his athletic ability that could potentially snap and cover, it's a big deal.
Quarterback position, you've got one on the list this year, Jaden Johnson out of Stanwood, Iowa, North Cedar High School. 6'5", 200, looks like a pretty good-sized kid for a quarterback.
Yeah, he is. We're excited about Jaden again, been tracking him since last year. And, you know, he initially had an offer to North Dakota State and got dropped from there. They signed another guy, and so, again, you look at him, the things that really stick out with me, he's a phenomenal student. Okay, so, again, if you look at our tradition here with quarterbacks, the good ones that we've had, they've always been really good students. He's very serious about his academics. And don't let the 6'5", 200 fool you. He can run. And that's the thing, when I saw that initially, they're getting ready to put him up, and I'm thinking, bye, we got his, you know, I don't say only, not only, but it's nice to have a dual threat guy, I think. And you're thinking, wow, this kid's going to be more of a pocket passer. Well, golly, his clips right away is him doing some zone ride stuff, some empty check, and looks like where he has a pass run option. He was very good with that, and you were able to see him run, but, man, he throws a great football. He's a very big young man with big hands, obviously, with the type of weather that we hope to play in here. It's great to have a kid that can handle the ball. You know, he's an Iowa kid, so he's used to the weather up there. And the thing that I was impressed with was he seemed to do a good job under center out of the pistol, getting through his progression. And the things broke down and the way he would scramble, but he never would just tuck it away. He would keep his eyes down the field. And again, those aren't easy things to do for a high school quarterback. I really was impressed with him on that, but he would just extend the play, and he seemed to get, you know, help his football team get some big plays by doing that. So we're very excited about him and his future here.
Next player to talk about, Eli Keller. You were able to get Eli out of Kearney, Nebraska, and which is really becoming kind of a Bearcat West a little bit with some of the coaches going over to Nebraska-Kearney. How are you able to get Eli Keller out of Kearney, Nebraska?
Yeah, we're very excited about Eli. And, again, we feel like he is you go through a lot of his attributes. His toughness just really resonates on film. Played a lot of the season with a cast and a broken hand. And so, again, you know, that's easier said than done to get up there and go do that. He was a really good tight end fullback in high school as well, but we're going to play him at linebacker. He's a great linebacker, able to blitz, cover. I thought the thing impressed me with him is ability to take on an ISO block from a fullback and shed it and make plays. You know, obviously his sister went to school here and was a volleyball girl here, and so we're excited to keep that connection, you know, out in Kearney High School going on. And we're excited to have him with our football program, and just comes from a very outstanding family.
Next guy, another tight end, multi-sport athlete, Jordan Klingman, 6'5", 205, out of Iowa. His coach, Troy Tisdall.
Yeah.
We remember Troy real well.
A.K.A. Big Bird. The kid was here on his we have this awesome poster. It's about the size of that whiteboard, and it's like a throwback poster. And it's got all these former, you know, coaches and players on there, and it, you know, and back when before we had all the nice stuff, the old press box on there, and there's a picture from 1995 with Ezra Worley and guys like that up there, but there's a picture of Troy Tisdall on there, the bottom one coming through, and the kid was looking at it, took a picture and sent it to Troy, and I said, "That you see Big Bird there?" And he's like, "What? Uh-oh. What are you talking about?" So that was his nickname. Coach Boswick called him Big Bird. He was so long and able to do a lot of stuff with bat down passes. But we're very excited about Jordan. He played in high school free safety and quarterback. And so, again, he's a projection, but, I mean, he's really not to us. We've got to put weight on him, obviously, and he's got to get stronger. He knows that. But he has all the athletic ability to do the H-back, the slicing, the chip and catch, you know, bang, what we call bang fans and set up play action. You know, he can do all that stuff without question. I think the fact that he's been a quarterback is really going to help him playing tight end, especially in the pass game. You know, the biggest thing with Jordan, we just got to get him in here and put some weight on and get him able to block at the line of scrimmage. But very good athlete, again, a great student.
Next one we talk about, the one that a lot of people know around this region from Maryville High School, bringing in a pretty good running back out of Maryville High School.
Absolutely. We're excited about Brody. You know, the thing with Brody, I don't know who's going to be more disappointed if we didn't get him, me or his dad. You know, Kevin, we work with Kevin on the weekends, and he drives our team bus, and so you start getting into recruiting, and I'd see Kevin, and I was like, geez, it's got to be nerve-wracking for him too as well, but very excited to be able to land Brody. You know, I hate using former players comparison, but the one that really sticks out to me from Brody's senior year, and I told Brody he was here, I was very proud of him. Again, watching his progression in 4 years, he was a kid. You know, he was a good high school football player, but he got better every year. And that's not always the case sometimes with high school kids that have a lot of success early. Sometimes they plateau. I always felt good about Brody and his development in on the football field, and he always got better. But he reminds me of kind of a Billy Creason, where he's a kind of a triple threat guy. I feel like he's good with the ball in his hand. He's going to be good at our stretch zone power play. His big body, because he's a big, thick kid, I think makes him a natural blitz pickup guy. And, you know, I know you guys saw a lot of the games I did. I mean, the way he catches the football out of the backfield, the way he would adjust, you know, they do a lot of those seam routes and say, but I mean, when you're talking consistently, you know, I would see it, the games I would watch or see it on his videos where he would be looking left and have to turn back and catch over the right. I mean, he did that all the time this year. And that's when you're switching shoulders and you lose track of the football, where you can, you know, if you can turn a circle where you can keep your eyes on the football, when you have to turn and you lose track of a football like that, it is very difficult to do. And so we just feel like we're getting a complete player with him. And, you know, he's wanted to be a Bearcat his whole life. And, again, I think that says something, too. You know, the kids that grow up in this town that want to be here and know what this place means, I really think helps those kids get off on a really good foot.
A fullback on the list here, Clay Minders, 6 foot, 230. I think when you look at some of the stuff with him, he was a defensive MVP in mm-hmm. his district, but see him, quality shot putter, mm-hmm. state wrestler. Mm-hmm. Those seem like good accolades to have
sure
at that fullback
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, they sure do. He was second last year in the shot and the wrestling, and obviously that weight class, that 190 weight class up in Iowa's, you know, I think a lot of the wrestling folk around here and would argue that from the state of Iowa, that's probably one of the best classes in the Midwest. And so he's a very hard-nosed kid. He's going to be a dual-sport kid here. He's going to do track here as well. We're excited about that. He's a great student. But just, again, his toughness, you know, I think when you start talking to people up there, his toughness is kind of legendary up there. I think he's a kid that's not afraid to mix it up a little bit. And so we're excited because, again, to find that just straight-ahead fullback in short yardage situations, doing some fullback trap stuff, blitz pickup, you know, they're great to have. And so we're excited about him. And, you know, he's a kid that you look at the number of fullbacks on our roster. We don't have a ton. So, you know, he's a kid I think was smart enough to look and say, hey, you know, I come in there and work hard, I might have a chance to play at a young age. And so we're very excited about him. He's just, again, comes from a real quality family. And he's just a tough kid. And he's got a couple of younger siblings that are pretty tough, too.
Go back to Illinois, defensive end with some good size as well, 6'4", 235 pounds, Kurt Mueller, and talk a little bit about Kurt.
Well, Kurt, first off, thing that kind of sticks out to me, he's a coach's kid. And I think you can tell that when you're talking to him and you look at his preparation. You know, his dad coached high school football for years in the St. Louis area, and we're excited about Kurt. He played a lot of middle linebacker in high school, and we're going to kick him down to that open side end. You know, you guys that follow us enough, Rich really gives those guys freedom to stand up on the LOS if they want to. And so Kurt is going to be a stand-up, weak side end. Very good at using his hands, very long. So he's going to be able to shed blocks at the line of scrimmage. But that ability to kick him down, you know, he's going to be able to keep his speed and quickness, which we think is going to make him really good at running games and stunts. I think he's going to be phenomenal at that because, again, you can see him when he's doing that stuff, how he can set that up and use his athleticism. But, again, I think use his mind. He's just, again, I watch him. It's just like, man, that's, you see he's a coach's kid, the way he plays the football game. So we're excited about Kurt.
Another offensive lineman on the list, Jonathan Ortiz out of Eudora, Kansas. Played a lot of offensive tackles. Is he going to stay at that tackle spot?
Yeah, he is. Big John, that's his nickname right away. John was, he actually, parents moved from Wyandotte over to Eudora his senior year. So he was kind of one of those guys as a junior. There wasn't, I don't think anybody even knew who he was. And, you know, he goes over to Eudora, and you know, Eudora has a good football program over there. We've had some luck with kids from Eudora before. You know, Cody Carlson was the last O-lineman we had from there, and he was an All-American here. And Big John knew who he was and had seen his story. But we've got a good relationship with Eudora High School there, and coach just kept saying, you need to look at this kid. You just need to look at him. And, of course, you start going through the database. You don't know who he is, and then you go see him, and it was unbelievable. He had the longest wingspan out of any of these kids. We height weighed him and do some wingspan stuff, and he had the longest wingspan here. Again, but you look at his shoulders, he's got very broad shoulders, and we just feel like he has a chance to really fill out. He loves the weight room. You know, he's a kid that he'd tell you needs to get stronger, but when a kid's talking to you, what do you enjoy? I enjoy lifting weights. Okay? Anything else? No, I really enjoy lifting weights. So that says a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he always talked that he's a good student, but the thing that just really hit home with me where I kind of said, you know, Joel went and saw the kid, and, you know, we were kind of, well, and I went and saw the kid, and it was, he kid kind of had me hooked in about 10 minutes. He just, he was like, I'm very serious about football. And I'm like, well, why do you like football? And he starts talking about, you know, the kind of the violence in playing on the offensive line, and you're, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, this is a guy, you know what I mean? This is a guy, that's what you want to hear an offensive lineman say kind of when you're interviewing him. And again, he said the weight room about 10 times in a 5-minute conversation. So we're excited about Big John and you know, what he's going to bring here. And a red shirt's really going to help him.
Got another offensive lineman coming in, this one out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a 6'4", 240-pounder, and Tim Otting.
Tim, I tell you guys, Tim comes from a very good high school football program. They don't throw the football there a lot, and that's okay because we know what we're getting with Tim. We'll be able to teach him to pass pro, but, man, he comes off the football. And all the linemen we sign, you know, Tim's been in a heavy three-point stance his whole life. And, I mean, bam, he just comes off the football. He's great at the point of attack. He knows how to double team and then get off a combo block and climb to level two and block linebackers. And so, quality individual, again, great student, and very excited about Tim. And, you know, Tim, he's another one, guys. Again, I was so fortunate this year. You start going through these kids. You know, Sossick's played some center. Anthony Enriquez has played at center at some point. So we've got these big-framed kids, and we're sitting there going, well, man, if they can't play tackle, they can play guard. And so we're very excited because Tim's another kid. You know, he's played some tackle, played a lot of guard, and it's just like we'll get him in here and we'll kind of let them all situate it out, watch what their skill set looks like in person. But we're excited about Tim. So,
kid from the region, a defensive end, Spencer Phillips. He's from Tabor, Iowa, 6'3", 235, D-end. And looks like one of those guys who's played kind of at that championship level, went to the eight-man state championship, yeah. But another one of those type of guys.
It is. Things with Spencer that stick out. He's got a brother here right now that's playing, that's having a very positive career and just having a positive experience here at Northwest and everything he's doing. So that's very exciting. Again, you know, Spencer had multiple FCS offers, but I think the one thing that really, again, resonated with me when he was here is just like, I want to win. And so, again, I think at the end of the day, that really helped, you know, put him over the top. I know mom and dad were very excited because, you know, now they don't have to go split up on Saturday. And you know, that when we started recruiting him, that wasn't the case. I was worried about it. I was just like, I just didn't know, you know, because he had a lot going. So we were really excited to be able to land Spencer, and he's look forward to coaching him. He's a good kid.
Got Zach Pierce coming in, a 6'4", 245-pound defensive lineman coming out of Gladbrook, Iowa.
Yeah, we're excited about Zach. Going to start him at defensive end. If that doesn't work out there, we're going to kick him down to the B-gap. Reminds me a lot of Cass Weil. Same situation. We kind of got in on Zach late in the recruiting process. Very good student, had a lot going, you know, but he's playing well in basketball right now. I think the last I checked, he was averaging around 18 points a game in basketball. He's got good feet. He moves well for a big kid. And just, again, he's just a tough old Iowa kid, you know, and we're excited about him and good upside.
Keandre Pugh, he's out of Kansas City Liberty North High School, and got him listed as a D-back wide receiver. Does that mean still trying to decide which side he's
going to play on? No, I missed that. That's a misprint. He's just a defensive back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's just a defensive back, corner. Not that he couldn't play receiver, but, I mean, if the defensive guys are listening to this right now, they're probably going to come down here and kick the door open. I think Keandre set all their receiving records, but he's just going to play corner for us and do all our return stuff, punt return, kick return, electric. You know, his father, Charlie Pugh, was obviously a teammate of mine, and I don't know, he kind of hit me this year, Mel. I'm like, I'm getting old. This is the first time I'm coaching a teammate's kid, and so I don't know. I was talking to my wife that day. It's kind of weird. Just kind of makes me feel old, I guess. But I remember him when he was little. I mean, Charlie would bring him up, bring him into the locker room, and, boy, he was young. He was probably 2 or 3 years old, and he had this big curly hair, and he was such a cute little kid. But he is a phenomenal football player, good student. Again, this Keandre had committed, you know, early in the process. had a lot of FCS offers, and some really late, you know, where guys were coming in and offering him fulls. And I was just so proud of Keandre because he always stood to his guns. And he just said, it's about a program. It's about a program. It's about a program. He kept saying at Northwest, and I want to be part of a great program and tradition, and he wanted to win. And so, we're very excited about him. I hate speculating too early on a kid, but, obviously we're going to be young in the secondary moving forward here in the next few months. He's a kid that I see him playing sooner than later here. I mean, he's that dynamic of a type of athlete. Again, he's a coach's kid. That shows up on film. He's very coachable. He's been around the game his whole life. He's one of those kids that he already knows those little nuances, you know. And so very excited about Keandre, and we look forward to coaching him.
Now, going back, you were talking about tight ends, and important to bring in some pretty good tight ends in the program. You got another one here, 6'4", 240-pounder out of Olathe, Kansas, and Kyle Ronning.
Yeah, Kyle, we're excited about Kyle. The thing that stands out to me is, I think we were one of the first to the table on Kyle, and he would tell you that. And that impressed him and his family. We were one of the first to show up, offer him, tell him why we liked him. Because if you look at Kyle on film, guys, he plays for a legendary high school football coach who went from Hutchinson over to St. Thomas. And so, he's playing for a guy that's very well decorated with a lot of wins. But they run a smash mouth option type offense, and so all you see him do is block down and run a corner out. And it was amazing to me after we had offered Kyle how many other people started to show up and, maybe they know something we don't. We did know something they don't. We got a really good football player there. And so, again, he was with him. He's just like, you guys were here first and you always believed in me, and our guys did a really good job recruiting him. But we feel like he can be a dual threat kid.
Guy out of Florida. Hopefully the snow didn't start till his fax was in already. But Miles Scott, a 6'1", 215-pound defensive end out of Tampa. What's the story behind getting this guy to Northwestern?
It's like if this bottle had lightning in it, that would be him. I mean, he's just electric. He's going to be an open side end. He's a pass rush specialist. He knows how to go get it. He understands football. He's very good at looking at offensive line and our guys as an opinion at their stance, understanding situational football when it's passing down. This kid can play every down eventually, but I see him being very, very productive early in his career here at rushing the passer. He's very good at it.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. Today is the first day that high school athletes can sign national letters of intent to play football at their chosen schools. And 32 student athletes have made the choice to come to Northwest Missouri State at this point. And we've got about 12 minutes left in the program, so we've got still quite a few players to go through here, guys. But let's look toward Harlan, Iowa here as Michael Sorfenden comes in, a 6'200-pounder, and he's a long snapper and linebacker.
Yeah, he is. He's primarily going to be a long snapper for us. John, he's a kid that, he may well be our starting long snapper next year. That may be the guy. Parents are both alums from Northwest. They had a great time here, and we're excited about Michael. Again, Iowa kid from a great high school football program, played for a legendary coach. You see him snap and win rain and snow, and we're very excited about Michael.
Tight end position, once again, Ryan Spellhog out of Bettendorf, Iowa, 6'3", 250. Looks like a decent-sized tight end.
Yeah, he junior tight end. They wanted him to put on a bunch of weight and play center his senior year. So this kid's played tight end pretty much his whole career. He's played 1 year at center and played phenomenal. And, again, we're going to try to trim him up a little bit, and we're going to move him back to tight end. I assure you he will be able to block at the line of scrimmage. He's very good at that. But he also demonstrated that he kept his junior year, he would catch passes and understood how to set down in zones or to keep running. So we're excited about Ryan, tough kid.
Running back out of St. Louis, 5'10", 205-pounder, Marcus Stewart.
Exciting, explosive. When we were down playing Lindenwood, our people had a chance to go see him in person. And, again, when you see a kid in person, you can look at him on the sideline. You can see his demeanor on the sideline. You can see his energy level. That's stuff you can't see on film. And so our people went and watched him. And I know I was talking to Coach Quinlan. Joe was out at the game with all our people down there, and he just was like, my gosh, the kid's a really good football player. So, again, dynamic, He knows how to finish runs, explosive, but again, he's a guy who catches a lot of screens out of the backfield, and he's got some good track times to back it up.
Back in the defensive backfield, a 6 foot, 200 pounder out of Raytown, Joe Straws.
Yeah, Joe, we're very excited about Joe. Joe came up here, and we had Joe test about 2.5 weeks ago for a walk on spot. Joe came up here and blew it out of the water. We watched him and said, hey, bud, you're not a walk-on anymore. And so, because he still had some other MIAA visits to go on where they were going to offer him, and we offered Joe a scholarship. Highly, highly intelligent young man. He played quarterback for Raytown. And so our guy saw great upside in him. He's got good feet, and we're excited. We feel really, really good about Joe, and we were thankful he came up and tried out that day.
Another St. Louis area athlete from Maryland Heights, Missouri, Jake Stroker, a wide receiver, a guy with some height at that wide receiver spot, 6'4", 195 pounds.
Yeah, you know, if our quarterbacks are smart, they'll get to know Jake real quick because he's going to make them look good in the red zone. It's just an unbelievable catch radius. I remember when we had him here and we got him at 6'4", and then we did his wingspan, and you look at his hands, it's like he's got catcher mitts he's wearing around, but very excited about him. A complete player, but again, the way he separated himself, I thought was in the red zone. Just his ability to go up and get balls, and he understands man coverage, and very excited about Jake and his future here.
A punter out of Kansas in Bishop Miege High School, Matt Thorman. Looks like he's got a little bit of a rugby background.
Yeah, he does. He's got a little bit of rugby background, but we've had him at camp, you know. The Goodburns here were, you know, able to work with him. I had a chance to work with him, saw him, liked him. You know, we do so much out of our shield punt, directional punting, and most high school kids nowadays, they just tell them snap the football and punt it, or that rugby stuff. You know, obviously right-footed, you're always going to rugby right, and so what we like to have is we like to have a punter who can directionally kick based on wind, return man, where we're at on the field, what coverage we're using, and so Matt met our criteria there, and, you know, he was the guy we wanted, and we got him.
A linebacker coming in from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Another guy from Cedar Rapids in your recruiting class this year, a 6'1", 217-pound linebacker, and Connor Vincent.
Yeah, again, Connor was a kid we're excited about because had a lot of FCS offers and a lot of really quality Division II kids were recruiting him. And so proud of our coaches because I thought they did a really good job recruiting him. And we showed him what we have here, but there's a kid who's been a great player. Developmentally right now where he's at, guys. I mean, he's a kid. He comes in here. He looks the part right now. But he can meet guys in the hole, fullbacks. He's a good open field tackler and just a hard-nosed kid. So very excited about him.
Got a wide receiver here, Quincy Woods, out of Bolingbrook, Illinois. And it looks like college football kind of runs in his bloodlines when you look at that family history.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited about Quincy. He played at the highest level, you know, in Chicago. Won a state championship in 2011. He is dynamic in the slot. I mean, you know, to be able to have a kid that can do the things in the slot like he can, you know, obviously the game most recently we're all familiar with is the Super Bowl. You were able to see with those guys like Edelman and having those kids that understand how to use their quickness to their advantage. He does that. He understands how to do that. Phenomenal with the ball in his hand. And he is a dynamic punt returner, kick returner. I mean, he knows how to go get it. He knows how to finish plays. And, man, he's tough. Don't let that 5'9", 170 fool you. He's tough.
And 32 student-athletes be coming into the program. I know you hate to compare from year to year your recruiting classes, but overall, how would you assess the type of class you got coming in?
A great one. Yeah, really. I was just excited and pleased with our guys' effort. I felt like we met all our needs. I feel like we've got a great group of what we talked about, the tight end and the linebacker, which we really needed. But then we just followed it up. I thought we did phenomenal on the D-line and the O-line again. You know, you look at the two receivers we signed, great. You know, the defensive backs with Mr. Pugh and Gassman, and those are kids that, again, they're both coaches' kids. They've been around football a long time. We feel like they're guys that can play here sooner than later. Our quarterback, the running backs that we got. I was just very excited about our class, and they're really good athletes. But again, they met the other criteria. They were good people, and they're good students. And so we're excited about that because we know they're going to come here and they're going to go to class and they're going to be good people. And so we can really focus on helping them get bigger, faster, stronger, and succeed, you know, on the playing field.
One thing that kind of sticks out to me when you talk about these offensive linemen and how many of them can play multiple positions, it almost makes it feel like this class is a little bit bigger because you do have the flexibility.
Yeah, yeah. And any time you can recruit a student athlete and he can do more than one thing, I think, you know, everybody picked up on a little bit too. How many punt returner, kick returners do we have in this class? A lot of them. How many guys do we have that, well, you've got the long snapper we signed, but the other linebacker that can potentially long snap too. And so, you know, you've got tight ends that can play on the line of scrimmage, but they're also, you've seen them do the wing back, the H-back stuff. And so it really helps. It really does.
Now that you have them signed on the dotted line here and they're coming to Northwest, what's the process involved to kind of keep them connected to the university between now and when they arrive in August?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. What we'll do is invite them to our spring game, which is April the 12th, I believe, Marshall, spring game. April the 12th at 11 a.m. we'll kick off. And so we really make a big push to get them back here and their family. And that way all the freshman classes, families are there together. They get to interact, and then we put them with our current players' families, and so they get a kind of indoctrinated into the family, so to speak. That's the thing. And then SOAR, they'll start coming to campus. Is that June and July, Lori? June and July for SOAR. Obviously, we get a chance to interact with them again, and Lori gets a chance to meet with the family and do the academic deal. And then we'll send them weight room stuff, and Joe gets them going right away in the weight room, and then we report unofficially. I've got to double check with the compliance officer back there, but unofficially we report August the 12th is check-in. And so it's not that far away when you start thinking about it here. Get these kids through their winter sports. They go through spring sports, and boom, we're off and running.
When you talk about some guys that you talk to maybe that aren't a part of this, when do you know, like, what a walk-on class is going to be? When maybe some guys that necessarily aren't on this list, you know, when do you get a feel for that and get to know whether those guys are going to be a part of the program?
Well, we'll continue to track that here until basically the 1st of March. Where our numbers are at right now as a football program, they're really good, and we're proud of that. So we're being pretty selective with that process moving forward, and you know, we're having kids come up and test for us, and so we're basically doing that once a week. We're bringing kids on campus, and we're just, you know, looking, not just, you know, this has got to be a good fit for them, but it also needs to be a good fit for us right now where our numbers are at, and we'll continue to basically go till the beginning of April with that, Matt.
Well, AD, thanks a lot for coming on our program here today and informing the listeners about the recruiting class. And, again, looks like another Posse class. It'll be fun to get them back, get them on campus this fall then.
Yeah, it is. We're excited. And, again, I just want to thank everybody involved, the professors that helped us with the academic appointments. I know I talked about that in the press release. But, again, how many parents commented, like, our academic appointments were so much better than some of the other schools. They felt like we really believe in the student athlete, and they feel like that really came across in the academic appointments. And then just our athletic personnel people, Lori and Marshall, Matt and Scott, with their help, what they do for us. Ashley up in the Talent Development Center, she's phenomenal. I mean, you talk about her sitting with a group of mom and dads, and what they do and what we're doing up there is great. And, you know, Del Morley and then the Quinlans, those people are all instrumental when we get kids on campus to helping us close the deal. So thank you very much to those people.
All right, and thanks to Adam Dorff for being with us on our signing program here today. Also for a lot of the work to make this program a reality as well. Northwest Sports Information Director Marshall Fay for his help today as well. That'll do it for our National Signing Day program with Northwest Missouri State Head Football Coach Adam Dorff. For Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and don't forget we've got Bearcat basketball coming up tonight down in St. Joseph, Northwest and Missouri Western. Our time for the women will be 5:10, and 5:30 is tip-off time. The men will tip off right after that at 7:30. All that coming up tonight on KXCV KRNW.